For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Bradley Fuller. Among the operas of the 2018 Spoleto Festival lineup is Tree of Codes, a recent work by Australian composer Lisa Lim, in which many of the distinctions separating the real world from fantasy dissolve. Here to talk with me about the opera is the composer herself. Lisa, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Bradley. It's great to be here.
A big event on this year's Spoleto Festival calendar is the U.S. premiere of your 2015 opera Tree of Codes, originally commissioned by the Cologne Opera. This is a composition partially inspired by a work of visual art.
Yes, well, it's actually a book by Jonathan Safran Foer, which is both a literary work and, I would say, a work of art, because it's very unusual in that the book is made up of cutouts. Every page has these spaces where phrases and words have been sliced out, just leaving these islands of other text. And so it's very suggestive, you know, kind of panorama where you can see through the gaps, you see other phrases, they suggest other worlds, a sense of you know, retrieving memories from different layers of the past, of one's consciousness. And so that's really something I work with in this work.
When did you first come into contact with this book or this work of art?
Yes, I saw it was being advertised actually as a Christmas, you know, special in England when I was living there. And I was so fascinated by how it looked and the subject matter that I ran out to get it. This was in 2010 and immediately thought this would be a great, kind of material to work with in terms of an opera, because, you know, opera is one of those unreal worlds. You know, it's a place where you can, imagine other realities. It is a make-believe world. And so a work, you know, a book which is about, kind of the magic realities that actually surround us in our everyday lives was something very attractive to me.
So these are some of the themes going into Tree of Codes, this reality that's not straightaway noticed, some of these ambiguities in betweenness. What topics or questions were you hoping to address in the opera going along these lines?
Yes, well, actually, I've had very many really interesting conversations with members of the audience here, and they all have a different take on it. So, you know, I'm reluctant to sort of pin it down to any one thing, but there are characters on stage. There's the figure of the son, played by the fabulous baritone Elliot Madore, and also this character called Adela, played by Marisol Montalvo, soprano, who represents, as a kind of archetypal woman. So she's this figure of desire. She also represents this kind of very earth figure that has access to a world of mystery. And so the opera really deals with the journey of the son and the way in which that journey is kind of really transformed and the different kinds of knowledge that he encounters via this woman, Adela. He's looking for the father. The father never appears on the opera stage. He's an absent figure. But there's the kind of themes which are around legacy, memory, what comes from the past that still lives within us. And of course, you know, this idea of codes, you know, one thinks of DNA and the way in which, you know, there are things unconscious in us about the past that still speak through us, that still move through us and make us make choices and, you know, ways of doing things in our everyday lives that we're not really aware of. And so the opera kind of tries to deal with this aspect of looking to the future, but really also being moved by aspects of the past.
Would you say that some of these themes and currents are found in a lot of your other compositions as well?
Well, I suppose the thing that really binds the four operas that I've written is this notion of the theatre stage, the theatre space, as a place of transformation, a place of ritual. As I said before, you know, this kind of magical place where the ordinary and the everyday can become something else. And I think that's quite strong in this production. It's an absolutely magical production by the director Ong Keng-sen. I mean, the lighting in particular and the way in which the whole thing is designed is completely spectacular and magical. But it's also the use of the, you know, the kind of sonic world. There are many sort of unusual sounds in the orchestra led by John Kennedy, the absolutely visionary conductor. So, you know, I hope we're offering something to the audience which is out of the everyday, you know, which is a sense that you know, one can touch a world of magic, of transformation and fantasy.
Obviously, you've provided the music for the opera, but the libretto, was that drawn from the book itself, or is this also something you shaped or adapted from it, or is it entirely your own?
Well, I organized the libretto, drawing from a number of sources. There's the Jonathan Safran Foer, and that in itself is a filtering, as I said, this cutout of the work of the Polish writer Bruno Schulz, who was writing in the period before the Second World War. And that's a world of immense, you know, kind of rich fantasy. A more well-known writer that people will be familiar with that kind of evokes the same world is Kafka. You know, one thinks of the metamorphoses of Kafka. You know, you wake up one day as a cockroach, right? And so it's a similar kind of territory. And so I draw upon both sources in shaping the opera.
In addition to composing works like this, you're also a professor at the Sydney Conservatorium of Music, where you lead the Composing Women program. Could you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, this is a particularly kind of, it's a moment in time, I think, you know, when there's a more focus on the issues around women having visibility and a voice and kind of this lack of space for women to have stronger positions of leadership and in all areas, right? But particularly in music, this is the area I'm concerned with. You know, we're still struggling to have any kind of parity in any area of music, you know, not just the creative, but all areas of music making. And so that's something I'm very concerned with, and the program that I run is really addressing that, how to open up more spaces, more opportunities for women's creativity to have a go, really.
What guidance or advice might you give to the aspiring woman composer, and are there any episodes from your own life story that might shed some light there?
Well, I think the really key is opportunity. The sense that one learns and grows and really attains excellence through having chances to try out things, to perhaps fail, but also to keep improving. So it's a sense that merit is not something that rises up fully formed, right? It's something that is really bound together with opportunity. So I suppose that's kind of the real framework for what I'm doing. And so in terms of you know, advice for women working in composition, I guess one thing is how women, or all composers, actually, I say this is advice for everyone, how we can build our own, how we can build community, how we can really increase the depth of our relationships with the wider world. So not just in the musical field, but in the wider sense of connecting with audiences, speaking about the work, finding access points. And so the whole area of education is very important to me, not just at the university level, but I'm also working with high school kids and primary school kids and being involved in that type of program. I think all of that's really important.
Lisa, thanks so much for sharing some perspective on this and also on your opera, Tree of Codes. All the best for the remaining performances here at Spoleto Festival and for your compositional career overall.
Thank you, Bradley.
That was composer Lisa Lim. Lisa's fourth opera, Tree of Codes, is making its U.S. debut at the 42nd Spoleto Festival this year, with five performances in all at the Dock Street Theater through June 7th. Lisa's 2017 work, An Elemental Thing, was also part of the festival lineup, featured on Monday, May 28th, as part of the Music and Time series. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Bradley Fuller.